Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this session tonight. We thank you for the presence of your people. We thank you, Lord, you've kept us during this day and preserved us from harm and hurt and danger. As the message is presented, we pray that your Spirit, the Holy Spirit of truth, would come into our hearts and to our minds and give us understanding. Not simply at the level of the heart, of the mind, but also at the level of the heart, so that we might accept what we understand. Let our lives be changed as a result of our exposure to your word. We offer this prayer in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. The only excuse God accepts. Our message comes from Genesis chapter 20, and it also has to do with Abraham. Genesis chapter 20, we shall begin reading from verse 1. And the Bible says, "And Abraham journeyed from thence towards the south country, and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur, and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife." Verse 4 tells us, "But Abimelech had not come near her. And he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Verse 5, said he not unto me, she is my sister? And she, even she herself said, he's my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. And God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart. For I also withheld thee from sinning against me, therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Therefore restore the man his wife, for he's a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know this, that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine." What happened in these verses? Abraham, as he did in chapter 12, he was afraid that the king of that particular territory would be attracted to Sarah, thinking that Sarah was his wife, and thinking correctly, and would kill Abraham to make Sarah available to him. So Abraham arranged for Sarah to lie and to say that she was his sister, so that Sarah could be taken without any physical harm to Abraham. So verse 2 said, "And Abraham said of Sarah his wife, she is my sister." Well, when Abimelech heard that this is his sister, the Bible says, "And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah." This wasn't the first time in Genesis chapter 12. You see, our father Abraham was not perfect. We're following in his footsteps. We don't want to follow his mistakes, but we certainly want to learn from his mistakes. In Genesis chapter 12, reading from verse 10, the Bible says, "And there was a famine in the land. And Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land." And Abram, and in verse 11, the Bible says, "And Abram said unto Sarah," where Abram was come near to enter into Egypt, he said unto Sarah his wife, "Behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians see thee, that they shall say, this is his wife, and they shall kill me, but they shall save thee alive." Verse 13, "Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with my soul, it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee." It was not the first time Abraham had lied, according to the verse we read in Genesis 20, verses 1 through 7. He lied in chapter 12. Why? To save his own skin. And very often we find ourselves in positions where we feel threatened and we make compromises to preserve ourselves. That's why Jesus says we must come to him in such a way that we love him more than we love our own life. As long as there is something we love more than we love Jesus, there will come that experience in the life where we will have to decide for this thing or for Jesus. And if we love that thing more, we will decide on the side of that thing, whatever it is. Jesus requires us to love him more than anything or any person on the face of the earth. When we have reached that point in our relationship with Jesus Christ, then there is nothing the devil can present to us that represents a competition for Jesus Christ, because we love Christ more than we love anything else on the face of the earth. And so Abraham said in Genesis 12, verse 13, "Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee." And so in chapter 20, he faces a similar situation, and he does a similar thing. Verse 2, "And Abraham said of Sarah his wife, she is my sister." If you read Genesis chapter 26, you'll see where Isaac did the same thing. Isaac told a ruler, whose name also was Abimelech, it was a dynastic title, that Rebekah was his sister. And it was only when Abimelech was looking out of a window and he saw Isaac, the Bible says, sporting with his wife Rebekah, that Abimelech called Isaac and said, "Behold, of a surety she is thy wife. How saidest thou then she is my sister?" And Isaac said unto him, "Because I thought, lest I die, they'll kill me to take her. So I said, she's my sister." Like father, like son. And so we go back to Genesis chapter 20. And Abimelech has taken Sarah, verse 2. In verse 3, God comes to Abimelech in a dream. There's something we need to understand about God. If we are children of God, and I believe we are, when we make a mistake, God does not leave us alone. Did you hear me? There are some Christians who believe that a relationship with God can be described this way. Here is the side of God. When you make a mistake, then you leave God. When you repent of that mistake, then you're with God again. When I was a little boy at church, we would have Saturday night socials. We'd come together after sunset, and we'd have musical chairs and have drinks and eats. And one game we played was on the river, in the river, on the bank. Now, we'd have someone lead this game, and there's a line that would be drawn on the courtyard somewhere, the churchyard. And you'd have the students, the church, the young people lined up behind this line. And the leader of the game would say, "In the river," and you jump over the line in the river. Then he'd say, "On the bank," and you jump back on the other side. And what he does is, he may just say, "On the bank," twice. And so you make a mistake and you jump into the river, and then you're out of the game. And the point is to see who remains the last on the river in the bank. Now, we tend to view our relationship with Christ the same way. If we make a mistake, God jumps away from us. When we repent, he jumps back into a relationship with us. So that God is always jumping in and out of relationships with us, or we with him. But that's not the case. A mistake by a child of God does not drive God away. A life of sin drives God away. And so Abraham made a mistake, knowingly. And in verse 3 of Genesis 20, the Bible says, "But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, Behold, thou art but a dead man for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife." Now, if God appears to you in a dream, a vision, or any other way and said, "Listen, you're really dead," you know, well, you have to think fast. What am I going to say to God? God said, "You're really dead, Abimelech, because you took the wife of my servant." And in verse 7, we learn that Abraham was a prophet. God said that. So God said, "Behold, thou art but a dead man for the woman which thou hast taken, for she's a man's wife." Now, verse 4, the Bible says, "But Abimelech had not come near her. He took her into his palace, but he hadn't touched her." But Abimelech had not come near her. And he said, "Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation?" Because Abimelech understood that God's judgment on him would have included his people. So while it is that God said, "Behold, thou art a dead man," in his response, Abimelech said, "Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous people?" Because in Genesis chapter 12, where Abraham lied to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh took Sarah into his house, the Bible says in verse 17, "And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah, Abraham's wife." So when God told Abimelech, "Thou art but a dead man," Abimelech understood that this judgment would extend to his people. And so he said, "Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation?" Why would he describe his people as a righteous nation in the light of what he did to Abraham? we'll find out in the verses that follow. Abimelech went on to say, said he not unto me, she is my sister. What's Abimelech telling God? Abraham has some blame to carry for this, because he said Sarah was his sister. So he said he not unto me, he's asking God, did you not hear when Abraham said to me, this woman is my sister? And he said, and she herself said, he is my brother. Now, the only excuse God listens to, and God listened to him. Abimelech went on to say, in the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. What was he saying? What was Abimelech saying to God as he tried to plead and reason for his life? Because God had just said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. What he was saying is, I did not know that this woman was really this man's wife. When I took her, I honestly believed in my heart I was taking his sister, not his wife. And God listened. Because there are times when we do things and we don't know they are wrong. And we say to God, in the integrity of my heart, I sinned. In the innocency of my hands have I done this. And God said, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart. For I also suffered thee, withheld thee from sinning against me. Wherefore suffered I thee not to touch her. But now that you know, Abimelech, verse 7, now therefore, restore the man his wife. You are no longer ignorant. Now you know that this woman is this man's wife. Restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. Now therefore, God says, restore the man his wife. Why now? Because now you know this is his wife. And you can no longer plead ignorance. Now, restore the man his wife. Because the excuse will no longer work. I listened, but I'm not accepting it. Now you know, you have greater light. In my mercy, I have informed you of your error. Yes, I do not condone my servant's sin, and I will punish him for lying to you, as he lied to Pharaoh. But now that you know, not take 6 weeks to think about it, now restore the man his wife, now make amends, now do the right thing, for he's a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. What am I saying? I am saying that God understands that sometimes we do things out of ignorance. In Acts chapter 17, verse 30, the Bible says, in the times of ignorance, God winked at. But now he commandeth men everywhere to repent. And I'm keeping the message short tonight. I've got a question for you. What are you doing out of ignorance that may have been brought to light to you over this weekend? What perhaps are we not doing that this weekend's experience so far has informed us that we need to be doing? What is it you and I know about Christ sufficient for us to make some critical decisions about Jesus Christ? Is God saying to you and to me tonight, now therefore, do what's right? Now. Because somehow I have sent this preacher to give you some information you did not have. Now that you have it, you need to do this and you need to do that now. Let me ask you again, or another question, and don't answer me. The lives we live now, well, let me change the wording. Is there something, it is similar to my previous question, is there something, think as I ask the question, but don't answer me. Is there something we're doing But we know we shouldn't. It's not a matter of ignorance. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands, there's no more integrity, no more innocency. We know we should not. Don't answer me. All I will say to you is what God said to Abimelech in that dream, Genesis chapter 20, verse 7. Now, therefore, do us right. I believe, and I'm convinced, that there's some things some of us ought to do tonight. There's some decisions we ought to make tonight. Decisions that will make God happy. Decisions that may be the turning point not only in our lives, but in the lives of those who observe us as we make those decisions. And I will give you an opportunity to do what's right now that you know differently. I want to pray for you first that the Spirit of God may touch every heart. Because only God's Spirit can convict and soften the heart. So I'll ask you to stand with me, and I will pray, and then I'll ask you to do me and God a favor. Let's bow our heads. Our Father in heaven, we come before you because we need your divine power. There are some decisions that must be made that are not easy. We need, Father, your assistance. And we ask you now in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, grant us the spiritual power we need to do us right, to do what you would have us to do tonight. I offer this prayer in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may remain standing. If there's a man or a woman listening to me, my first call, who knows that he or she, man or woman, boy or girl, needs to be baptized into a relationship with Jesus Christ, and you've not yet done that, I want you to make that decision now. Leave the seat where you are and come and stand right here. I'll wait while you come. Right over to my left. God bless you. You know you need to be baptized. Make the decision now. Just come. Are the pastors of these children of God here? They are. I'd like these names taken before they leave. I mean, before they leave here. Grab a pen right now, someone come, and get the names of my sisters, my brother. Anyone else? You need to be baptized. You know enough about Christ and his love for you, his death on Calvary to save you from sin. And you need to make a decision to be baptized into the body and the fellowship of Jesus Christ. Just come. I'll wait one more minute for the next person to come. Then I have another question. But this is most important to me. For those of you standing, I hope you're praying in your hearts that God would seal their commitment. Very often appeals turn out to be public displays. This is not one. This is very serious. So you should be praying that God's will be done in their hearts and in their lives. Who else will come to be baptized? While I speak, you may come. While I pray, you may move. Any time is a good time to make a decision to be baptized. I'll make one more appeal. Like Abimelech, many of us do things we're not aware are displeasing to God. If you are aware of something in your life that is displeasing to God, whatever it is, it could be from a little white lie to to mass murder, whatever it may be, cover the whole range, and you want to say to God, Lord, your words to Abimelech, now therefore do the right thing, are words to me, and I want from this point on to lay that thing aside from out from my life, to separate myself from that behavior, I want you to slap out as well and come up here. God bless you. 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 Just slip out and come. It's very easy. Something you say, Lord, I know now, by your grace, I'll lay it aside. Just come. God bless you. Anyone else? God bless you, my sister. Anyone else? Now, therefore, the words of God to Abimelech to us tonight. Now, therefore, who else will move? You don't have to. If the Spirit touches you, you ought to. You're laying it aside because now you know differently. Somehow God has spoken to you this weekend and will speak to you again tomorrow morning during our final session. If you want to come forward, just come. Then I'll pray. God bless you. My sister, God bless you. Anyone else? Just come as the Spirit speaks. First step you take, God will give you the strength to take the rest. Who else will move? Before I pray, I will not delay the call. Won't extend it very long. Anyone else? And then we'll pray. Let's bow our heads. Our Father in heaven, we come to you because our hearts have been touched by your Spirit and by your Spirit alone. We thank you, Father, for the incident in Abraham's life from which we can learn lessons. Avoid the negative and receive into our hearts the positive. We thank you for the example, Lord, of your dealing with Abimelech, giving him a chance to do what's right, having shown him the error of his ways, and having shown us the error of our ways, we have responded there, Father, and our response says to you that we want to lay it aside, whatever displeases you, and do what is pleasing in your sight. Father, it is with special delight I offer to you those who responded to the call for baptism. I ask you to bless them because this decision is absolutely the right and the best decision they could have made. And so I thank you for their decision. I know there are others who needed to move, but Father, perhaps they won't move tonight. They'll move on some other occasion. I ask you to send your Spirit to pursue them, touch their hearts, give them no rest until they make that decision to publicly demonstrate their love for Christ by making a decision to be baptized. Lord, grant us all your Holy Spirit. Every man, woman, boy, and girl, fill us with your power, that we may live lives that bring glory to the name of Jesus Christ. Hear this humble prayer. Watch over us tonight. Keep us mindful of your love and your goodness. Wake up us in the morning for the final session, we pray, in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.